Do you suck at cooking and you want to eat healthy and you're like, what the heck do I make because everything is processed? This podcast episode is for you. Today, I'm going to be giving you some tips to prep healthy, delicious meals for those who even can't cook. All right, so let's dive right in. Welcome to The Tea with Tina, your favorite podcast where we talk all things health, fitness, lifestyle, and maybe a little bit of tea gets spilled. We chat all about this in a super casual environment. So grab your beverage of choice, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Let me preface by saying that I used to be a terrible cook, okay? I grew up in a household where my mom, she could cook, but it was a lot more processed meals, very basic. Like, she would do spaghetti with the canned sauce or jar sauce, whatever. Sometimes she would make her own. We would do, like, hot dogs and box mac and cheese, a lot of, like, quick ready-made type meals, like not very difficult to make. So I grew up that way. She never taught me to cook. I would always try to kind of help and she'd be like, no, you're getting in the way. Let me do my own thing. So when I was in my like mid to late teens, like 16, 17, 18, I started my fitness journey and my mom stopped cooking for a little bit. And I had to go out and buy my own groceries and learn to cook. And let me tell you, from about 16 to probably 21, I was a terrible cook, okay? I was afraid to overcook my chicken, and I would deal with the center being pink still, like raw, okay? Because I was afraid to burn it. I would turn the pan up too high. All my stuff was like flavorless and rubbery and plain, okay? So I was not a very good cook. And let me tell you, there hasn't been a time where I just set out and like studied cooking. I think just over the years and trial and error, you kind of learn things and you pick up on things. You know, I always still follow recipes, but there are certain techniques I've picked up over time. So like when I see something, I'm like, oh, I know how to do this my own way. That's a little bit better. And I just do it, you know, so don't get discouraged. If you are somebody who has the time or is a little bit more curious, I encourage you to keep trying. And I watch like cooking shows and I think I pick up things there, even like stupid stuff like Triple D, you know, my man Guy Fieri, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It's not really like a cooking show. He just goes to local places. Well, not local, but all over the US. He goes to different places and Canada and he'll you know, look at dishes and they will show them preparing them. And I kind of pick up on different techniques or if they use like different flavors or seasonings, I'm like, ooh, this would be kind of interesting to try. Like the other day I was actually just watching and they used pear to marinate meat. Okay. Cause it's not quite citrusy, but I guess it's kind of citrusy because how you use citruses like orange juice or something to help, break down the meat. Or lemon juice or lime juice. And I was like, that's really interesting. I wouldn't mind trying that sometime. So little things like that, I just kind of pick up on. And I've improved my cooking skills greatly. But you don't have to be on that level. Even if you're just like, listen, I have no time. By the time I have time to cook, I'm tired. I don't want to learn. We still have some tips for you today. Okay, so let's dive in to three ways you can prep delicious, healthy food without being a master chef. Right, so number one, we have the air fryer, crock pot, and I'm gonna throw in the rice cooker, our beautiful inventions. And all are actually relatively inexpensive. If you do not have any of these things, please invest in them. Go on Amazon right now and look for one that's like a bestseller or has really good reviews and a ton of them and get it. The air fryer is great. My only qualm is I wish I have a bigger one because I kind of have like a single serve one where sometimes I have to work in batches. But for reheating things, for crisping up frozen vegetables, meats, you can literally throw anything in there and it comes out delicious. It's almost the equivalent, like it's called an air fryer. It's almost the equivalent of frying anything, how it tastes. You can fry anything and it will taste good, right? So we love that. And no added calories from the oils or breading or anything. You can just crisp up anything and it tastes delicious. The crock pot, another great device. Now, some people use Instant Pot. I've never used it, but I know it's similar in a way. It just takes quicker. But crockpot, oh my god, same kind of deal. You low and slow cook things for hours and it usually comes out tender and delicious. I will say from personal experience, there are some things that tend to not work well, like full-blown meals in the crock pot kind of come out weird. But if you're looking at like a soup or a stew, sometimes you can get away with like side dishes, things like mac and cheese or like making your own homemade applesauce. So things like that, definitely look at the types of foods it's going to be that are going to work better. Pot roasts are really good in there. Pulled pork, things that you can do. Chicken, if you want to batch prep like salsa chicken. I've done like a cream cheese salsa chicken. I've actually dropped that recipe on my Tina's Tidbits email. If you need healthy cooking ideas, actually, and you're not already on the list, join the Tina's Tidbits daily free email. I drop a free recipe for you every day. There's a link to join in the podcast description if you aren't already. Get on that. But yeah, definitely lots of good things with the crock pot. And I'm gonna throw in the rice cooker because the rice cooker is amazing. You literally just drop however much rice you want to cook in. I usually do a 1-to-1 ratio of water, maybe a little bit more. Like if it's 1 cup, I might do 1 to 1.5 cups of water, depending on how it looks when I put the water in there. I know I'm weird. You can get fancy. You could put seasonings in there. Sometimes I've done lime juice if it's like Mexican rice. You could cook it in broth, chicken broth, beef broth, whatever. And you literally just set it and forget it, and it will pop when it's done because it boils up all the water and it's like kind of weight based, so when the weight reaches like a certain weight, it'll pop and it's done and it stays warm. It is the best invention. It was like $25 for this rice cooker, and there is a little added bonus. They give you a little tray on top that has a strainer, and it's to steam your vegetables. And let me tell you, if you make rice and beans, I put my beans on top and boom, rice and beans cooked. Don't even have to think about it. It's cooking while I'm working on my chicken or whatever my main meat is for that meal. So easy peasy. You got to get your hands on these things. Okay. So that's going to be number one. Definitely invest in some easy peasy equipment. Two, frozen and ready to eat options are available nowadays. I would argue that we live in the easiest era so far to get grab and go healthy options. And true healthy options are becoming more readily available. Even from 10 years ago, it's amazing to see like truly organic, truly real ingredients. It's better and better to find stuff out there because I think people are noticing and wow, I just had a brain fart. The producers are noticing that people are willing to pay money for the better stuff, so they're putting that stuff out. Like, I laugh when Doritos is like releasing all natural organic Doritos, and I'm like, it's literally the same thing as regular Doritos. They just changed the branding. So everybody's trying to hop on that bandwagon, but I will say it is a good trend. But here's the thing, when you're aiming for frozen or like grab and go ready, you do have a couple different options. First, decide if you want to go for more sweet or savory with your meal. Okay. If it's sweet, I'm going to say you're looking at more like something really easy is going to be, you know, you want a protein, carb, and a fat, and fruits and veggies, arguably, right? So for sweet, let's say we use Greek yogurt as our base, okay? There's your protein, very high protein. Get a quality one. Don't get those crazy ones with like M&Ms that you can mix in. Check the protein content. I want to see at least like 12 to 20 grams of protein per serving. They have Oikos Pro yogurt, which is 20 grams. Ratio yogurt is 25 grams. So no excuses there. Okay. You could even use the plain Myfaye Greek yogurt. That one's also really good. It's super low calorie, 90 calories for a serving, and like, I believe it's like 18 grams of protein. Okay. So we have that. That would be your protein. Your carbs, you could use some type of granola. Again, be mindful of the granola you're getting. They have high protein options. Just be mindful of the sugar and the portion. Make sure you're measuring it out so you're not overdoing it. Then throw some fruit on there, fresh fruit, frozen fruit, whatever you want to do. I personally, if I get fresh fruit, I'm going to rinse it in a water and white vinegar mixture. This takes a little bit of extra time, but your fruit will last so much longer, and I'll chop it up and put it in the fridge because I used to get so mad that my fruit would like mold and spoil. And like with a couple minutes of prep work, you'll get the most bang for your buck with that. Okay. And again, you could always do frozen. I am a fan of frozen because I'm somebody who uses a little bit of something and then never finishes it, or it takes me months to finish. And a lot of the food that I get, breads, fruits, veggies, they'll go bad before I get the chance to use them up. So frozen has been a godsend for me. Okay. So you want your fruits in there, you got your Greek yogurt, you got your granola, and then if you want some fats, you can drizzle some peanut butter on top. Again, portion it out. We don't want to overdo it. Or you can get the PB2 Fit powder, PB Fit, mix it in some water. It saves you the calories and a lot of the fats, but you still keep the protein and things. And you can drizzle that on top as well. Okay, so lots of fun things. You can even play around with nuts. Like if you want to add in walnuts, are a great source of healthy fats. Again, just watch on the portions. But that would be a great, easy, no-cook meal that is balanced. And if you're going for something sweet, it's perfect, right? Now, if we're going on the savory side, the more traditional meal side, you want to aim for a meat, again, a starchy carb, and usually a veggie. I mean, depending on the meal, you could probably do fruit, but I don't know how that would taste. I mean, unless you have a side of fruit, that's fine. Don't forget about beans. Beans are underrated. Beans are a mixture usually of protein and fats. They're kind of split down the middle, okay? So they're a good source of protein, but they're also a good source of fats. That's why they're not usually categorized as like one or the other. People who are vegan or vegetarian tend to have beans as a more protein source, but again, just know they're also high in fats. So what I would do is look for pre-cooked meats. You can go in the frozen section. They have grilled chicken breast. Usually Tyson does that. The kind of gluten-free healthy section has some nice options for like breaded. If you're looking for some fun chicken nuggets would be great. I've done the burger patties before. I haven't really done them recently. So like ground beef might be a little bit different, but usually chicken's a good go-to. Fish, they usually have like pre-seasoned and ready to go fish where you just like bake it. So if you want something easy like that, like literally just set your oven to like 400 degrees and like put it in for however many minutes and it'll be like buttered up, seasoned up, ready for you to go. You can do that for fish. You could also eat raw, whatever you can do raw, like things like, the pre-cooked shrimp, sometimes that comes de-thawed for you to eat. You can do tuna packets. Tuna packets are a great grab-and-go high-protein option. They have the chicken packets as well. Just watch on the sodium with those guys. They have the canned chicken and tuna. And my favorite go-to is pre-shredded rotisserie chicken. You know how they have the little $5 rotisserie chickens? You get the skin with that. And you don't, you know, you're getting the bone and stuff too. And it's a lot more work. But if it's for like dinner or something, that's not a bad deal. But my grocery store, they'll actually shred it for you and keep it cold, and it's already pre-cooked, and it is delicious, perfect to just snack on, use it as a side, throw it in a sandwich or a wrap, put it on top of a salad. You could do whatever, and it's so worth it. So plenty of grab and go protein options for you. And let's not forget, you could just do a plain old protein shake, or like I said, a higher quality protein bar. Whatever you're feeling, that's fine. Now for the carbs, we're looking at the starchier carbs. So you could do rice. So you can use your wonderful rice cooker, like I told you. They have bagged steamable rice. Okay, usually you get like 2 servings and you can just microwave it. They have the cups of minute rice that are single serve. You could just put the cup in the microwave and heat it up. You can do potatoes if you want. There's usually in the frozen section pre-chopped potatoes. Okay, you could literally just throw them in the air fryer. You can bake them, whatever you want. Okay, those would be my 2 go-tos as far as your carbs. Now, if you're doing like a wrap or like a salad or something, you're looking at like a tortilla. They have lots of low carb, low calorie tortilla options nowadays. I just got a high protein tortilla wrap the other day and it was like $10, 10 grams for 1 tortilla, which is pretty great. They have 6-4-7 bread, Ezekiel bread. Ezekiel bread is more a little bit like nutrient health conscious. 6-4-7 bread is more like calorie, low carb, high fiber focus. So totally up to you, but those are all great options for your carbs. And then we have our veggies and fruits. Again, we can get frozen, we can get fresh, however your heart desires. They're usually minimal prep. And then your fats, like I said, oils, nuts, all that stuff. So literally you have so many options there. There's no excuses. It's just about, the hardest part is figuring out what you like. But once you figure it out and you go through that little bit of experimental phase, it's easy. Because me, I have my like rotation of things that I like. And pretty much when I get sick of one thing, I'm like, okay, let's move on to the next thing. And then I do that for a couple weeks. And then I get sick of it and I'm like, let's move on to the next thing. And if I'm feeling creative, you know, every now and then I'm like, ooh, let me add this into the rotation and maybe something gets added in. So it's an ever going process. But once you nail it, like I said, it's like clockwork and you don't even have to think about it. Okay. And then the last tip for my non-cookers out there is don't forget about seasonings, okay? You would be surprised what a little bit of prep for something can truly do for your meal, okay? Play around. There's been certain things, like for instance, my mac and cheese that I make, which is rare because mac and cheese is very high calorie, so I usually reserve it for like holidays. I will add like mustard powder, okay? That sounds super weird, right? But mustard powder in mac and cheese just adds a little oomph that makes it taste really good. So feel free to play around with seasonings and flavors. Lemon juice, lime juice, orange juice, pears, like I was saying. Can you add cooking wine into things? Usually if we put a little bit of alcohol. I actually just did an Asian dish where the girl said that whiskey was the secret ingredient to making it taste good. And let me tell you, I normally cooked this Asian dish and it was a little on the blander side. And when I put the whiskey in, it just added that oomph. So where can you add little things to boost the flavor that's going to make it not taste bland? Play around with seasoning profiles. You can look these up on Pinterest, you know, Italian seasonings, Greek seasonings, Mexican seasonings, whatever you're gonna do, and like play around with different things. I just got white pepper, okay, instead of black pepper, and it adds a different flavor, and I just throw it in stuff, and I'm like, let's see what happens. Like, I always talk about my lovely turkey chili that I do, and let me tell you, the turkey chili, it's delicious. It's the best chili I've ever made. I have it down to a science. And I actually use ground bison and lamb now instead of the turkey. The ground bison is lean and the lamb adds a nice like fatty flavor. So it's a good balance. But the seasonings that it calls for when you're following a recipe, they usually really underestimate the seasonings. And I actually double or triple my seasonings. And I'm a little unconventional. So you know the little cap on the seasonings? That's what I use for like a tablespoon. So like chili powder, for instance, okay? For this recipe, I think it calls for a tablespoon. I put in 3, okay? And it does not taste like too much, too salty, too overpowering. It's like just flavorful enough, like restaurant quality chili. And I'm just like, yep, we're gonna throw this in, we're gonna throw this shit in, like I'm just mixing it in. And sometimes, you know, I would maybe test taste a small batch so you don't ruin the whole dinner, but play around. Greek yogurt you can use to cook your chicken breasts in to keep it moist. People are putting cottage cheese in their eggs to make it high protein and more volume. So there's a lot of cool hacks out there. TikTok, Pinterest, Facebook, whatever. Play around. Obviously, you're not going to learn it all at once, but you'll, again, develop your go-tos and know what tastes good and start doing more of that. Like, for instance, when I was talking about that crockpot salsa chicken, they put cream cheese with the salsa and it keeps it flavorful and moist and it adds a nice flavor for not many calories. And it's just, it's really good and it's a hit. My one girl who's on my Tina's Tidbits email, you know, I sent that recipe out and she's like, my kids love it. And this is a new staple in our house and it's so easy to make. So definitely be curious and explore. So yes, that brings our 3 ways you can prep delicious healthy food without being a master chef tips to a close. So I hope you learned something. I hope this inspired you to maybe create some more flavorful healthy meals, help your meal prep. You got a plan. That's the only way you're going to be successful. So if you enjoyed, be sure to follow the Tea with Tina podcast so you never miss an episode again. And we will chat soon. Have a great rest of your day, guys. Bye for now.